Assalamu alaikum.
Blog Talk Radio.
The halal industry.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Once again, this is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the halal industry do for self. I like to always begin with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This week, as every week, I try to have a brand or a title that I start from. And this week, I'm saying to myself and saying to others, Allah gives to humanity the assignment. Shaitan works to take you from it. And we see that in the beginning of all the readings about Adam. Adam was talked out of what he was supposed to have right away. That was a sign, not a big enough sign for everybody. But Allah had already told him what to do. And once Allah tells him what to do, you do it if you trust Allah. Now that doesn't, Allah, I don't believe, from my reading, my understanding, Bible or Quran, I don't think that shows us that Adam was disobedient and wouldn't listen to Allah. As he said, there's a hadith that says Moses, I believe it was Moses, Prophet Moses, was complaining and blaming Adam for the situation that we, the humanity, got in. And Adam asked him a reasonable question. He said, how come you blaming me? You did what you did, and you had many in front of you that you seen make the same mistake. Me, I didn't have nobody. So that's pretty much what I'm looking at even when we talk today. Our family life, our religious life, our educational life. Look at the baby in your family right now, the youngest one, or if one is to come. Look at that baby. And that baby is getting ready to do everything most of us has already done. It gets fed by a parent, usually the mother. Could be a foster parent. But nonetheless, it gets fed. It's raised by a family. Hopefully a family that's a good family, that doesn't abuse the child, whether it's a boy or a girl. Allah allows us to learn, to see. But every branch, if we go back, and when I say branch, I'm saying of time, speaking of time, we have something that the people a few hundred years ago didn't have. We don't only have books and able to have become able to learn different languages. We have the TV, we have the movie screen, we have computers that we can actually pull up some reference. Don't mean we got all the facts. But this is man telling the story. You want the facts, you find what Allah has left as an imprint of proof. But you find that things was done throughout time that we don't need to do no more. Some things we don't need to do no more. But the things that we're able to do for hundreds, thousands of years, maybe millions if it was millions of years, I don't know, I don't reference millions and being there years like some people do. Scientists, because I can't prove how many years we've been around, humanity or this creation. Only one know the only entity. I don't like to say the only one. Sound like I'm speaking of a person when I'm talking about Allah. The only entity, if I could say it that way, and that be accepted, that knows exactly would be Allah. There's nothing in creation knows better than Allah. Thing in creation knows better than Allah. But Allah knows what they were able to reference back then. And he told Muhammad the prophet, I was just mentioning to Nate, Brother Nate, the co-host here today, how Allah said to Muhammad the prophet through the angel Jibril to look into the creation and then look into yourself. Meaning what you see out there that's causing whatever it caused or what being whatever it is, it's all in you. And I'm not talking about just minerals or things of that nature. I'm talking more to the unity, the working together of your body and the persons that we get to know, their body. It is the same as the creation. In that, I'm saying that it works under one rule. We're allowed to break the rule. There's nothing else in creation break a rule like humanity can. Allah didn't give that freedom there. Well, you can say the jinn. Well, the jinn don't want to do nothing right. He's jealous. When you think of the attitude of the jinn before he becomes Iblis, he's jealous. He can't outdo the man. And when I say man here, I don't mean the physical man. I mean man or woman. If that man or that woman stands on, in any faith, stands on belief in God, the jinn, he ain't even a shaitan yet. He can't touch you. I remember I was praying in the masjid that we started in Glassboro, New Jersey years ago, many years ago. And I was praying, and a brother came from another part of Jersey, and he prayed with us. And when you sit down, you know how you do those who know dhikr, those who sit in prayer, sit in the jasa position after the prayer is over, and we point a finger out. Anyway, this particular brother, he was waving, wiggling his pointing finger. And as he wiggled it, he was looking at what I was doing. I wasn't wiggling. And after it finished, he was saying that how he was taught to wiggle it. So I said, well, what do you think happens when you wiggle it? He says, based on what he was taught, he said, wiggling it is tickling the heart of Shaitan. I said, boy, if I could put my hand on Shaitan's heart, he dead.
Right.
Tickle his heart. All the hell that he caused between men and women,
right,
children and adults, educators and students, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm saying that not to make fun of him, because I kind of beat him up right there to let him know, man, you don't just pick up anything and put in your head. You know, we got brothers and sisters of all races that are finding there's a new drug on the street and put it in their body.
Mm.
And they look at somebody that's stoned. Most of us have seen driving somewhere, somebody standing on the corner, bent over like they want to pick something up, but they just high. There are some people that want to be like that. Say, man, I wish I had what he had or what she had. Stupid. Allah gives us this frame, this body, and he gives us intellect, and he gives us a spirit to be happy, to be good, to feel good. And we will trade it all for something that we know destroy every human being in touch if they don't get away from it soon enough. That piece right there is obvious. What I just said is obvious. You see somebody on drugs, why would you want to be like that? I used to see people as a youngster before drugs was in our community, walking down the street drunk. Why? I used to wonder. I never seen my father drink. I can't say that he never had a drink. My older brother, I never seen him drink. I can't say he didn't have a drink. And as I grew older, I did have a drink. But to see somebody walking down the street stone drunk, falling on the walls, people could walk up. I mean, I've done it as a teenager down 15th Street in South Philly. Go by the state store, and we got some old heads that was going to the state store already drunk. And they're going in to get some more liquor. And we'd help them down the street, me and a couple other brothers. And while we're here going down the street, we're going in his pocket and take his money. And I vowed, I'll never put myself in a position like that. If you take it, I'm going to be conscious that you took it, so I know how to fight back. Now you might say, oh, man, you ain't supposed to do it. Man, I'm human. I'm human. The problem with people is that we don't teach people the mistakes that we did. Sometimes, and that's what got us sick today, looked like, I'm talking about the body that came from the nation and came from Imam Muhammad. Some of our leaders forget that you made mistakes. The key is what we want to do. We want to get to the position where we can erase mistakes from each other. You're doing a spelling test. You can do it with any kind of situation that you've been in. You're doing a spelling test. You write down the answers right real quick and leave the classroom, and half of your answers is wrong. That's Allah showing you ourselves. So I'm saying here, yes, Allah gives to humanity the assignment. Humanity, every year that they live, decade, century, millions of years, whatever it is, we carry the light that Allah wants us to carry. I personally don't care if a person says they're doing it for God. If they're sincere and they're doing it for God, ain't but one to me. Allah is Arabic. God is English. The God, Allah. Same thing. In another language, it's said another way. I'm not confused about it. None of us should be confused about it. Some people don't want to talk to somebody in another faith. They want to call them names. Our brothers and sisters coming from abroad felt the way that they can, some of them, not all of them, but a few of them, felt they could tell our people to call our own people kufars. Are you a kufar and you ain't had the message yet? How could you be a disbeliever and you haven't been given the message from Quran? That was us years ago. Like I said, in the 60s was first time I heard something that sounded like assalamu alaikum. And the brother, when I turned around and asked a friend of mine, what did he say? He said, salaykum, 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 and sometimes they're saying salami, salami. We didn't know what they were saying. But Allah gave the message to America. I'm not talking about because the president was able to talk to those over in Arabia somewhere. They knew, because many times you find out later that there were books in the library. Some of them went to school over there. But for us coming out of slavery, we have to look at what is Allah doing or giving to humanity as an assignment. In other words, if we can get reparations, we need all the money we can to build our community. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But to just get it because we were made slaves, if they had that kind of power, then we need to really go do something about that. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that kind of power.
They
still don't. Still don't, as Nate just said. Allah gave us a position. Think about it. 400 and something years of slavery. It is said in the books in the library right here in America, probably around the world, but definitely here in America, that the Quakers particularly, might have been some other Christian groups, they got the slave owners, slave masters, to agree not to put any slaves in the field, black as they may be or light skin or whatever, don't put none of them into slavery if they're Christians. Think about that. They can pick out a slave and say you can't make him a slave because he's one of us. He's black. Yes, he's like the ones that you enslaving. But he's, and you can't do it. The next thing should come to our mind, then what was left? And we know the majority were Muslim. There were people of other faiths who would say maybe they had no faith, no belief, or it might have been like a witch doctor type situation. But the majority of the slaves that remained were Muslims. Even a few Muslims, they released because they had some seniority in their country as the leader's son, family, whatever the case may be, or some office that they held. These things were right before us, but we wasn't reading that history. I don't remember ever reading anything about the Muslims. The Alibaba, we all made it if you're my age, Alibaba and the 40 thieves. Now later on, you can see that was supposed to be the prophet or the prophet's people. But they call them Alibaba. I might be saying it wrong. I ain't said it in so long. But the 40 thieves, they made us think that this body of people, wherever they came from, I didn't know. If everybody else know, there ain't nobody told me. But we didn't know they was talking about another country for real. Because remember, at a young age, cowboys was riding horses too. So when we saw somebody with a tent, with a turban on, riding a horse, for me anyway. Somebody else might have had all this super knowledge. My point is, if you knew, why didn't you tell somebody? You know what I mean? So in school or wherever, these messages was before us. But we were put in a position to work as slaves, lose our religion. Not lose it like we lost it, but they made us not those who wouldn't worship the way we came in worshiping. We had to learn in a different way. If we was going to worship anything, we had to worship what they offered us to worship, which included in the language that the white man is over them, over us, our people. That picture shouldn't have been there, but don't give to the Caucasian man back then, particularly back then. Don't even do it today. That much intelligence that he, as a people in America, thought that through. Allah did that. Allah allowed us to be erased as a people, erased as a people. So much so we didn't know where we came from. The history books say that they would whoop us or kill us if they caught us talking too much in our own language. So they was beating our language out of us. So we had to walk around working and almost be silent even with the songs that we had once upon a time, according to the history that I got when I was a youngster. And I didn't get this out of school. I got this from people on the farms. My father would tell us stories. He wasn't a slave, but some of his foreparents were slaves, of course. And some of yours. So this was something that Allah planned. So again, I'm saying Allah gives to humanity their assignment. Do you know you can't figure out your assignment if you don't study before you get the assignment? You got to study what the assignment is to pass the course. You don't come out knowing. That's right. That's right. So if nothing was ever given to us to see, if we think that they came and got us with a plan to just put us in the slaves, take our language from us, rape our wives in the field, have babies by some of them, separate the children from the parents, separate the wife every now and then from the husband. If you think that that was their plan, they wasn't smart enough to have that kind of plan. Mm-hmm. All they knew was they had a chance to win without putting nothing in, if I could say it that way. That's right. They were opportunists. That's right.
Yes,
that's what it looked like to them. They could get the field worked. They ain't got to go out in that hot sun. All they had to do is have a few of their own boys around sitting on horses with rifles.
Overseers.
Things was in our history. And it's not something that I'm saying or we should think, well, we should get together and go beat them. This is Allah's plan. The assignment that we had was to lose everything and come back and be the best example for worship. I would say today, there's not a country in the world of Muslims, when we doing what we do, supposed to do, that could just say they outdo us. How in those countries, and I say it and I have to say it every time, how in those countries do they allow the killing of Muslims, of each other, when they are Muslims and Muslims rule? Blow up a masjid, especially during Jumu'ah. Mm. If you just disliked it and need to tear it up, why not wait till midnight when maybe nobody ain't in there? But why even do that? And these are Muslims doing it to Muslims.
Something wrong
there, no question about it, mate. So our picture anyway that I get is that Allah made a new people that will come forth in the time that is necessary to change the focus. Not change the focus from Islam. Oh, we're not going to do that. Oh, no, the prophet wasn't the prophet because the Arabs. No, the prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, was just who Allah said he was, the seal of prophethood. Seal of it. There's some people today that say the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wasn't a messenger. It's Allah who said that I will send you messengers, always send you messengers. When we give a message to each other and it's on the right, that's Allah sending messages through messengers. No, not prophets. You carry a message, I carry a message to say, no, we should live like this. We should see this. Allah says this. No, it's not equating with the messengership of the prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. But how will we let the world tell us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not a messenger for us? How did we get Islam? If we don't want to give credit to our own, we think that's what Allah wants us to do? Deny the truth that he gave us? No. No, he sat down, and Allah sat him all the way down. But when he was speaking in the theology time, and he spoke on the issues of someone coming after him, and that person coming after him will bring us face to face with Allah, face to face with God. He said, I just cleaned out the vessel. I was away when this Savior's Day took place, when this talk took place. But many were there. He said, I've been teaching from the poison book. The one coming after me is going to bring the Quran. We got some brothers and sisters today that want to do better, but they they don't want to accept that peace. They want to just say that the messenger is the messenger. Well, how do you see Allah? Some of them don't see Allah too strong. How you don't see God when a flesh and bone person like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a brother whom we all love, we're thankful that Allah gave him, he had to perish. He had to pass. We've got work to do. This is what I'm driving at. We got an assignment, and we got work to do. The model community is a piece that we have to do, no question. But we have to go back also being a model wherever we at, that Allah is first. Allah makes the choices. We don't even have a choice in the matter. We're either going to do it or not do it. And somebody can say, well, that's a choice. No, Allah made the choice for the course of travel and the movement that we're supposed to have. We're today supposed to be a better influence than they were before. Why? They was not able to influence the way we're able to influence today. Everything in creation that we see today, fast cars, planes, jets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all these things existed when Adam was here, when he got the assignment. They existed. When Muhammad the prophet was here, they existed. But man was not developed enough yet to pull it out of the creation. Let us take a PSA.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassador, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, AM 360, Ramadan Mubarak. This is Nate Muhammad. I'd like to read from the Quran, Surah 38, Ayat 65-73. Say, truly am I a warner. No God is there but this one, but one God, supreme, irresistible. The Lord of the heaven and the earth, and all between, exalted in might, able to enforce his will, forgiving again and again. Say, this is a message, supreme above all, from which you do turn away. No knowledge have I of the chiefs on high, when they discuss matters among themselves. Only this has been revealed to me, that I am to give warning plainly and publicly. Behold, thy Lord said to the angels, I am about to create man from clay. When I have fashioned him in his deposition and breathed into him my spirit, fall you down in obedience into him. So the angels prostrated themselves, all of them together. Surely Allah speaks the truth.
Once again, assalamu alaikum. As I was saying, and would like to continue, Allah gives to humanity their assignment. Shaitan worked to take you from it.
Yes.
So we are part of humanity. We know that. We don't have no question about that. And we've been blessed to be taken out of a position that we were in, that we ourselves in this day and time didn't experience, But when we look at the ugly history of how we were treated as a people, even though it was ugly, it was ordained, it was allowed by Allah. Part of a plan, part of a proof. Brother Nate just read about the clay form. Clay is not considered a living thing that could just jump up and walk. So it's an example, or I guess a metaphor that Allah is using there. Because we're part of that clay. We're part of it. So today we are still following the shaping that Allah wants us to have as a humanity, to build not just for ourselves, but people in general, for the humanity in general, and not even for the humanity of the day. Not that alone. It's not like we'll rush into a fire to put a fire out and try to put it out before anybody pass or any or the house or the home, the business is totally destroyed. No, we've been put into something great. That history that we live, Allah allows us to live through our people. That history. He says clearly. He makes what he wants in the creation. So, but man can look into creation and bring out better things. And if you listen to this history that's told today, you would think the Caucasian did everything all around the world. Because once upon a time when they did it, all around the world was just America. You know, when technology changed and TV showed us there was another city, we realized you couldn't just stay in one area. When technology got even stronger, we seen there were planes and boats. Even though we came on a boat, all of us didn't know that. Everybody that was on the slave plantation didn't know nothing about a boat because we was already here. Years later, we were born there. We was born working. We have to imagine that there were slaves that never left the work field once they were born, from a little child on up on the plantation until they left here. That's this when we think about it. When we look at our life is a miracle. For all of us to be huddled into America and treated the way we were treated, if one of us did that, we'd have to say that was a miracle. For Allah is easy once we understand that Allah does as he pleases. But the main important thing that I'm working to see myself and help others to see what I see is that Allah gives to humanity. We're humanity. We represent humanity in the Muslim world. But we also are made to remind the humanity how to live in America. You know, you got Muslims, I ain't no American. What are you? Allah made you an American. No, you're what? They can't even finish the sentence. But it wasn't expecting nobody even to take them further with the sin. People who are imams, et cetera, I've heard them, sat down with them. I've said this before. What are you if you're not an American? One imam recently said to me, saw me, I wear my Vietnam hat pretty much everywhere I go. Once upon a time, I used to wear a big hat, big brim, wide brim. When I was a youngster, my father told me to stop wearing before he cut them up. And one day he caught me and took it off my head and just cut the whole brim off the hat. I knew not to wear no more in front of him. But I wore big brims. But coming out of the service, I enjoy wearing my Vietnam cap. I wasn't even a cap wearer. But I enjoy it. And I am proud of my life because the Lord gave it to me. You think about I'm going to use this term, just to reflect, the Negro. You think about the Negro before we were Negro, just slaves. When we became Negro, that was big. But we're bigger than that. Not because that's an insult. We're bigger than that. We're Allah's servants. And as Allah's servant, he gives assignments to his servants to work a plan for humanity. Islam, I could say Christianity and even Judaism, should be very clear to the world on how to live a good life. But it's not. Because they, as even in Islam, people has delved into the corruption and brought it to the synagogue or brought it to the church or brought it to the masjid, the mosque, the temples. Did I say synagogue? Yeah, I said synagogue. Yeah. So it's for you and I who are today able to understand things in the Quran that are just really plain to see, but for some they don't see it. Allah says in Muhammad is the best example for who? Me? No, for the whole humanity. If it's the best example for the whole humanity, if we want to stop problems, we have to live as he lived. Don't wear their smocks. What do they call them? Overgarments. Overgarments. That's what they used to call the women's dress back in the day. Overgarments. And she was covered. Our black women and white women, Caucasians, slave women, covered. You can see the church loaded with them, covered from the neck. Its dress go down below their calf. Dark stockings usually.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them had on hats, covering their head. They were modest, beautiful, but modest. What I saw as a child. I don't remember as a child seeing women undress. But it was early on. We didn't even have a TV. Now, by the time I got a certain age, I guess definitely about 10, maybe. It had to be that because, if I'm not mistaken, my youngest brother. No, it was even before that. My youngest brother wasn't born yet. But at the same time, we had it, and we may have picked some things up, but you picked the hint up on TV, on those black and white TVs. Think about that. The Caucasian didn't want to ruin his own community. They suggested, but, you know, when you looked at the movie, I Love Lucy and many other ones, you know what I mean? They said there's going to be it. They didn't show you the bed. They didn't show you undressing. The man has the opportunity, man and woman, when I say that, I'm saying the species of humanity, has the opportunity to improve the society. We look at these two young brothers that got this from the
Republicans in the state.
Yeah, over there in Tennessee. Yeah. They got rejected because they were standing for stopping guns. I don't remember hearing the first remarks they was making. I heard things since then. But the people, with all of this killing going on, all the people should be saying, let's do something about these guns. Once upon a time, the guns was affecting us and our people. Everything was shot at us. Whether a crime was committed or not, you could have just been mad, but you was a white man that was made mad and shot a black man down. It didn't matter. No, we need to do something about these things. But how many of us teaching our children to grow up with the regardfulness to where they live to the point that they want to be leaders in the community, not gang leaders? You got drugs in the neighborhood, you the leader of that. The mayor, the governor, the state rep. We Muslims, and we don't want to lead. Once upon a time, yet Ridge was not a Muslim state, a city, whatever it was called at that time. It wasn't until they voted for the Muslims who said they didn't want to vote. People that were not yet Muslims, they had to vote to bring Prophet Muhammad to Yatrich. And they didn't bring him there to be the messenger of Allah. They couldn't touch that. They brought them there to govern them because they couldn't figure out why the two families was fighting with each other, two Arab families was fighting with each other. there was another family that was there that wasn't Arab. That's what was causing it. But they needed someone that could see, that was honest, that they could trust to come and lead and tell them what the problem is. So they invited Muhammad because of his character through the lifetime that they've heard of him in his own area of Mecca, which wasn't called Mecca yet. The prophet told him, said, well, look, what you do, go back home and talk to your people more, see if that's what they really want. And if they do, next year at the same time, come back and get me. So they went back and did Shura. They talked to each other. They reasoned with each other on making their country better. Should they or do they all agree to bring Muhammad the prophet? Muhammad, they said, no doubt more. They may have called him the messenger, but they wasn't calling him because of that. They got two in one. They called him because of his character that they heard of before that. Some may have had a feeling for him as the prophet, the messenger, but as the majority, they just needed to find someone sincere, honest, that could tell them why they and their brother was fighting. They didn't even know the answer that was there. They didn't even know to look in that direction. Another group of people that wasn't of them was whispering to the two families, causing them to fight each other while they stood back and looked. Today, it's on us. Muslims are killing Muslims, Christians killing Christians, Jews killing Jews, et cetera, et cetera. And they all killing some each of us. In our community, our youngsters are killing each other. But do something about that. Again, Allah gives us an assignment. As I've said, I've asked certain groups of foreigners, a few times I've done the Juma more recently, to tell me, when the Juma over, if you can think of something, tell me. What country of Muslims have the ability to be an example on how we should be living? In other words, a mercy to humanity. Who has that ability to be that? That's with us today. It's not with everybody else. Again, certain Muslims, they study with certain groups and allow themselves to be utilized to divide the family of Muslims, to divide the family of our people. We can read in the Quran where Allah says, don't even say, to your parents. Lower your wing of humility to your parents. But they would let someone from overseas come over here and tell them, these brothers and sisters that I'm talking about, that their Christian family are kufars. They ain't reading the Quran. Can't you see the importance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in orientation class, anybody that passed these lessons, their reward is a Quran Sharif or Quran Kareem. Either way, two good names going along with the term Quran. Our goal was to get a Quran.
Mm-hmm.
1969, like I said, I came in. The class I was going to have was too small. The class that exists only had a few weeks to graduate. They put me in there. This brother had a very good feeling about me. He's dead today. May Allah have mercy on him. And he began to teach me Arabic and teach me how to pray. I had already read the Quran three times in Vietnam, along with the Bible, which I was brought up on the Bible. How to Live, Message to the Black Man, read that. At least four times, them two books, at least four times a month for 12 months. So I had what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying. He introduced me to the Quran. He introduced me to Muhammad the Prophet. So how will we turn our back on what we have, trying to be Arab or something, because we can't explain the Nation of Islam. We can't explain. He came in the person of God. Well, he also said when he returned, he won't look like that. So in other words, if you're looking for that man to be God, don't look at him. And when he's returning, you may see somebody look like that, but that ain't him. We have to believe that for the time that we're in. There might be others that got a message from Allah that they're doing something that makes them just as strong in what they're in. We ain't competing with nobody. We obeying what Allah has said. Our goal is to be the example. We are proof of the nation of Islam. We were the example for many of our people. The church used to even start tightening up, trying to look better, look more like us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of them would tell their gathering, don't talk to the Muslims. Y'all not strong enough. Don't talk to them unless you got an elder with them. I remember talking to plenty, especially Jehovah's Witnesses. They weren't allowed to talk. Why? What the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was showing us and giving us, how to live, how to be, was right in the core of what we were supposed to have. So again, Allah gives to humanity their assignment. Our assignment is in America. This African-American, so-called Negro, who've done a little bit of everything, but the best thing he could do is serve God, serve Allah. But we ain't messed up. If our Christian brothers say they want to serve God, ain't but one. They may be confused to say it's three when the Bible tells them clearly, and I believe it's Revelation, but one of the books in the back says, don't give him no pardons. Don't make no graven images of him. Now, the mistake that's made there, they say, because he's a jealous God. And I used to say this when my father said, can God be jealous? And my father would tell me, no, son. That's somebody just wrote that. Now, he didn't discourage me from the Bible. He didn't discourage me from Jesus. He didn't discourage me from the church. But he gave me something that, you know, how's God going to be jealous? The language that people use, even in religion. I was speaking to a brother yesterday that still lingers into the nation of Islam. And he said he believed man is God. I said, well, me and you need to sit somewhere and talk, because how can he be God? How can a man be God? You tell me. Because he wanted to say about Farad. I said, I know brothers that studied with Farad. I know if you go down on Lancaster Avenue to the museum, one of our brothers got a museum. It's small place. One of the first pictures you see when you walk in the door on the right, in the masjid that's up Lancaster Avenue a little further, it used to be called the Brotherhood. I forget the whole term. But today, they use another name. And they would, in the front row, there sits Farad Muhammad. So he said, well, you know, it might be something else. I said, no, it's Farad Muhammad. I said, well, the Imam Muhammad passed. My son, who's dead today, may Allah have mercy on him, put him in paradise. He was murdered as a youngster. And I said, I took a picture of him. I took a picture of the young Imam Sutadeen up in Germantown area with the son of Farad Muhammad. How's he God? When I talked to Imam Muhammad's sister, who was older than him, I forget which one it is, her name, I forget, but she stayed up here in Jersey with one of the families. And me and my family would be over there at their house a lot. And she would just talk. And she would say things. We used to sneak upstairs. Think about this. We used to sneak upstairs when he go to the bathroom. How do God go to the bathroom? God don't go to no bathroom. But we needed to hear this. She said, we'd sneak upstairs, and sometimes we'll peek through the banisters, and the door be cracked, and he'd be in there like pushing his hair back, like looking at the receding hairline. God don't worry about stuff like that. So they got a chance to see if nobody else knew it. In that house where they lived, they got a chance to see this was a man. Remember, Imam Muhammad didn't see him. These was his sisters, his older brother. They found him on Elijah. They got a chance. If I'm not mistaken, Elijah was just a little older, so he got to see him as a child. But the sisters was a little bit older, still children, but a little bit older. No, we can't find in the Quran that they will justify a man being God. And he taught us in the lessons. When he returned, he won't look like that. As I said too many times, I repeat myself a lot. When I would pray with my first wife, I'd look around to my right, kind of looking in her direction, but not looking at her. And she said, why you do that every time? I said, because every time I get ready to pray, I remember that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, when he returned, he won't look like that. So she said, and she'll say the same question every time. Well, what would that mean to you? I said, we don't have to look for that man to be God.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna be God. You know what I mean? So whatever he is, respect him because he taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But Allah is the creator of this, and we can't see him. We can't put no shape to him. We got to believe that. And many people in the world who believe if they would get that straight in their head, we'd have a better society. We'd have a much better society. I believe that. Now, I could be wrong, but I believe we'll have it. And I believe that job is in the hands of the people today to show a better picture. And those of us who came from the nation, those of us came from Imam Muhammad, and those of us that's still to come, not just of our race, people that will touch, Allah willing, there'll be also those who will be recognizing the work we have to do that Allah has given to us of the humanity or for the humanity of this day and time. We have to believe it. Let us go for a PSA.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry. To do for self with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President and CEO of Bilal's Industry, and co-host James Beshear and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the American people, or African-American people, descendants of slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org. Parent Corporation Community Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us. Or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. And thank you. You may have stepped away for a minute, but to stay with his thoughts, with his comments about today's program, I have to bear witness to all
the struggles that we encountered together trying to establish the halal industry. He was very instrumental in guiding all of us in the direction to stay firm in our belief, do what's right, and support one another in this day. So when it comes to working as one, we always rally behind each other, around each other, you understand, in the efforts to bring about our program. We've been experiencing a couple things, trying to get preparation for the building, to get that built. There's always a sacrifice. We have to pull out whatever little pennies we got to help get what we need to be done. So in reference to how the Imam came, he's always been a very good example for us to rally behind. You know, as he would say about Imam Muhammad, he was a big inspiration to him. And so it's coming down, you know, from one stage to another. So I see the Imam just showed back up, and he's eager to get the phone back, you know. That's just me saying. But our host, Imam Bilal.
Thank you, Brother, once again. Assalamu alaikum once again. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry, do for self. And as always, we thank you for getting on, listening, and participating. And those who have questions and statements, and I'll say that now, anyone who has questions, statements, suggestions, anything that you'd like to say, if not now, if you want and you want to do it a little later, it's your choice. But just touch the one on your phone, and I should see it on my screen. And if I don't, maybe someone else will see it where they're at, and we can get your question, your statement, your suggestion, whatever it is. And not only we will hear it, those who are listening elsewhere will also listen. And I'll return to where I was at. We look at how Allah established the humanity. He established the humanity through allowing the humanity grow in a different way than every other creature. Every other creature is amazing the way every creature knows how to be itself. Everyone. If you stand back and you study the smallest thing, which could be an ant or a flea or whatever the case may be, if you can see it, if you can capture it, or atoms even, you know, in your body, you know what I mean? So the cells that causes us to live, take care of moving blood, et cetera, those are fields that we see that we can learn and we can work with. And we're the only ones, I mean, in other words, bigger than apes or bears. We can't do that. We actually put a better life together for them. But for you and I, we have to understand that, no, this is not just by circumstance that we here in America, because a white man, you know, just wanted to go get some black slaves. So Allah allowed Muslims, Christians too, but mainly Muslims, our black ancestors, who were Muslims, were the ones that were forced to stay into slavery. But he says you got to connect all the dots. I pray I'm reading what Allah says, right? If you, who are you talking about? Any of us at any time. If you don't do what I want done with what I give you, what did he give us? Plenty, life, we're breathing every day. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do with it, I'll take it from you and give it to someone else. Just take your time and look and see how Islam went around the world. It's our time. Allah cleansed us in a certain way. I'm not saying we needed to get Islam pushed out of us, but he made sure through slavery we lost everything. We lost where we came from. We lost who are our family members. And me personally, I'm when I say this, I'm not saying I'm talking about the people who had to suffer. I'm not concerned where the meaning like this. I'm not interested in being African. I'm an American.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very well proud of being American. And the changes that's happening in America because of many of our people and some others, I'm very proud of that. The work that the, and I don't want to just make it look like all I see is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad, but the work that I've lived with and seen them do have changed America in a big way and make it easy for me to say what I'm saying today. That Allah took it away from us but gave it back to us. We fit the description today of those who will become the mercy to humanity. What is the mercy to humanity? Allah tells us the best example of it is Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. In him is the best example if you want to be near to me. That's what God says to Muhammad. He's telling us the same. When we look at it in the manner that we should, our life of how to be the human being God wants us to be strengthens the humanity, the nation of Islam. I'm not talking about today's nation of Islam. We love our brothers, no question about it. But they can't do what we did. We already did it. Are they going to come back and do what we did? It's already been done. They should be advanced away from that and seeing that they can't do what we already did in the days of the nation. The white devil don't work today. That already been done and handled. That's right. Already been done and handled. So, what do we do now? We build model communities for ourselves. Oh, see, y'all just getting ready to be racist. We ain't being racist. We being model community for ourselves. In that model community, we build the strength for humanity to see and correct their life. Isn't it somehow all of a sudden these days every powerful king or chief or whatever around the world. And Trump thought he was going to be the powerful one to be able to do it. But they can just murder masses of people for nothing because they just want to be in that territory. They want that territory to recognize I'm your boss. Something's wrong with humanity. So Allah knows the timing of everything. Allah prepared us. And we're not the only ones. But our work is our work. My father and his brothers, so together they could put together a car. My father was the engine. One of my uncles was transmission. Another one was upholstery. Another one was body and fender. So collectively, they could put a car together. They could repair one or they could make one. And that's something that they said they had to almost do down there. Is learn to fix their own because white folks, if you take it, your car to their shop, they'll tell you, boy, go ahead on home. We'll bring it to you when it's ready. And many blacks, when they have their conversations about it, they find that the Caucasians would be driving their cars throughout the car been fixed. Never was broke, maybe. They're driving their car. So blacks had to learn to become mechanics and fix their own cars. That's not the world God wants us to be in, a world where people cheat people, treat them bad. It's more than, when we look at this earth, there's more than enough for every individual family, if not every individual person, to be a millionaire. Allah has made this creation rich in many ways. It don't all have to be about gold or diamond, but in many ways, but we got to work together. The African-American people, descendants of slaves, particularly I'm talking about us that are Muslim, but I'm talking about us in general. We have to work together. We have to spend with each other. We have to buy with each other. We have to support each other. We find someone's trying to do something, they're doing it a little wrong. Give them the insight of what's right. Certain things, I know some brothers ask, would I want some money from some of the people, one particular person, I won't mention his name on here. He has some wealth. and they thought they can, felt they can get $1 million for me for that. I said, who you talking about? Where you going to get it from? Because I know he ain't got it. So when he told me the name, I said, no, I don't want that. He said, well, he ain't selling drugs. He got medical marijuana. I don't want that. I don't want to build halal on anything that Allah says we shouldn't do. There's other medicines other than marijuana. And I do believe, I could be wrong, I ain't test everybody, they ain't ask too many people a question. Some people want that herb for sickness because it's just because it's called marijuana. No, we don't want that. Allah will allow us to do things purely halal. We got to believe that. And then when we build, that become an image, a picture to the society. As I've said, I know Arabs. I won't mention their stores or nothing like that. But they sell pork in their stores. Are you a Muslim selling pork? Oh, brother, the people, they eat the pork. You talking about my people, man. Go back home and sell it to your people. But my people don't eat it. Oh, yes. Okay. So if you don't care for us to give us what we really should have, I don't think we should support them. But we got to build our own to compete, and all that is good. That's a statement in Quran. To be able to compete, and all that is good. And Allah says, go off as in a race. Where does he tell us as human beings? For us not to be involved with making the world better. By trusting him, trusting God, and doing everything we're supposed to do to be fair, just, to whoever we deal with. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, told his own people, when you sell a basket of fruit and you put your two ripe ones, they may not be bad yet, but they still near ripe, deep and ripe, being ripe, that they look soft. He said, don't put them on the bottom. Put them on the top so the customer can see them. Mm. He's telling his own people, stop cheating your people. You're going to sell them anyway, even if you got to sell them for a cheaper price. Look, these are so ripe. I can't give these to you $5 a pound. Give me $3 and take them. How you going to lose? You got rid of them in time, and you got enough money to go buy something else. And if you brought them rotten, you should just eat them. You know what I mean? If you got them and they was bad, if you can't take them back. I'm talking about the salesperson now.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah tells us that we can we have knowledge. Where do our knowledge start? As soon as we come out of the womb. Allah start talking to the baby as soon as he come out the womb. In the average household, every child learns the same thing. They learn some level of cleanliness. There's some houses that's not as clean as others.
Mm-hmm.
But they learn some level of cleanliness. They learn how to be respectful to some degree. Some houses, The father comes in, he don't always have to be drunk, but he curses at everybody. But he know that the majority of the houses have a chance to actually teach the child so to find the success that all the other ones do. Those are things that we have to recognize. That Allah is giving to us a picture of Muhammad the Prophet, of Jesus, of Moses, of Noah, of Lot, of Job, going all the way back to Abraham. And in that, you can go further and go back to Adam. But every one of these stories, they're in our life. Some of us represent the same picture that they represent. The goal has to be for us to see or recognize, I shouldn't say it's just the goal, recognize that Allah has put us on a goal to be a image of what he wants of humanity. We do believe, first of all, you can't just become a Muslim. Allah has to give it to you. He has to invite you. You accept what he invites. If a person come in and, you know, they just see this as a cookie jar, so to speak, they're going to get goodies. We recognize, Allah let us recognize that and tell the person you should back off or you get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play with this, man. We don't play with this. Many brothers, sisters, remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was our way. Don't play with this. Just, you know, go ahead and wait till you're ready. Then come back and you can join. The door will always be open, but don't play with it. You play with it, you might get hurt. Allah gives us that insight as well. The person know he's playing, but Allah makes us see it. We have to build the community that make everybody want to do better. And what I mean by that is if you're successful, who's not looking? If they're looking, they want to be better. They want to be what you are. How did they get up that high, man? Look at how they work and look how they build it. And it's nothing to build when we take our time to look at it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he did not have, and I got this from Imam Muhammad, direct and public. He said it public, but he also talked to me directly. And not just me. I mean, not making it look like I had a personal trail to him and nobody else. Plenty of us he talked to personally. And plenty of us he talked to us in groups, whether they were in the city of Chicago or other places, whether it was with imams or it was just with a group of people, brothers and sisters. He made it clear, made it easy for us to see that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to him, Wallace, two men can't live at the same time, but you have your chance, and you might not use anything of what we're using now. So he came in, and he began to script certain things. He told us before he left that he wished he had not gotten rid of everything in the nation, meaning he wanted to, it ain't him, but he needed things that would keep everybody restricted to doing the right thing. But that ain't him. And I know I said to him, I'm sure others said the same thing. It was just a feeling that was natural. No, Brother Imam, you did what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, well, you ain't doing nothing wrong. We ain't hurt. This community has not hurt under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or Imam Muhammad. Those who didn't want to be there, then they had their freedom to go somewhere else. But we didn't suffer any. You know, when the dope came into most of the temples, I don't think it came to most, but it came in too many in the big cities. When illegal stuff started coming through there, that was a hardship for us. We didn't need that. That wasn't the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but people felt that let me back up. Ministers were talked into by some of the close soldiers. I know in Philadelphia, I got it from the horse's mouth, that here in Philadelphia, two brothers went to him and pushed the picture. Let's bring things in to make money. They had stake and takes here. I was away. Remember, I said I was in prison. I was away. I never got a chance to walk in a steak and take and buy a steak. Now, I sold steaks later when I opened my own business. But I come to find out when I got home, they closed them. They didn't fail. They closed them. One by one, they closed them. Why? They were fronts for dope dealers. Think about it. They're good business. People coming. They like the steak.
The name.
And like the name, that's right. That's right. Steak and
Take.
Yeah, shake and take.
Yeah.
Now hopefully they ain't in front for nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my point is we can go get lost, all of us. Or we can stay on the guidance that Allah gives us and work together from city to city, within the city, and we build in our community all over again. If anyone has a question, don't forget touch one on your phone. If you have a statement, suggestion, and we'll take that. And if I don't see it, prayerfully, we'll count on those that are watching the board in other areas that they may see something. So the issue is Shaitan disturbed us. Shaitan disturbed us in our heyday, so to speak. That test had to come through. We couldn't just live with the thought that all Muslims are righteous. We had to see ugly among ourselves. But there was enough strength in the leadership that ugly didn't fall on them. And when I say that leadership, I'm speaking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I'm speaking about Imam Muhammad. But they didn't condone that. Anybody that say that, we need to look at them, not cross-eyed, but with a better look. Those things should be seen from us, that they don't belong in Islam. Wrongdoing, that is. We have to build a model community. The model community is halal in its thinking and its movement. And I don't mean halal right now just to meet. If the person is not halal, why is he handling it? Allah says, how will I give my servant the reward for halal when what he's practicing is haram? Meaning you can't even get it. You look like you're doing the right thing, but Allah gonna punish you anyway. Because he says what you're doing is haram. And who would know better than Allah? He allows us to know what we're doing. He allows us to check in and see if we're staying on track, or not. So we have to see Shaitan, yeah, he's going to come and he's going to disturb the direction that we need to go in. But most of us, we can recognize him. You know, I often say when I use the quote of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, asking Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, do he have a jinn? And he said, yes, yeah. First he said, everyone have a jinn. And she said, everyone. You have one? He said, yes. And he said, but mine, I made him submit. He's Muslim. So now we are supposed to have thought on that.
Mm.
For me, the thinking is that somebody could correct me if I'm wrong. The way I know my jinn submitted is my jinn don't suggest nothing to me to do wrong. Somebody could say I'm doing wrong, but I'm not saying, okay, I'm seeing wrong one way and they see it another way. Somebody may think anything about you and don't know nothing about you. But in your own heart, your own mind, Allah makes you know as well when you're doing wrong. And you could be, let's use the writing something. You could be spelling something wrong and not know it. You got most of it right. You think you spelled it wrong, right. But somebody comes and say, no, that's not how you spell it. We're not talking about that kind of mistake. If we make an error that we have in our head, we produce it with our hands, our thought. We know that. Allah makes sure we know that. Can there be something you do that's wrong you didn't know is wrong? Possibly. But the more obvious things, no. You know when you do those things wrong. You know if you went down the street cursing, even if you're by yourself talking to yourself. Why are we cursing? Why do Muslims need to curse? Why we got to use the language? I remember the beauty of the nation of Islam. You didn't hear no curse words. Then all of a sudden, later on, you heard curse words. And the imam had to check himself. Well, he was a little fed up, and he was cursing. And he told us publicly. He had to check himself. So that opened the wire, a gate, so to speak, for everybody that wanted to curse. Now, it don't make a difference who do it. What do Allah say? Our character is to be decent. Our character is to be honest. Our character is to be charitable and helpful. Our character is to be the winner of the prize that Allah want to give us, not the winner of the one that Shaitan want to give us. Allah says, surely we'd be at loss dealing with him. So all we have to look at in most cases is what am I? In other words, each person look at themselves. And what do I want to do? I told people up here in Philadelphia, you want to do something illegal, don't bring that to the temple. Don't bring it to the masjid. If you're in the church, don't take it to the church. Go to the street, do your thing, and take your chance. Take your chance to get hurt. Take your chance to get locked up, or whatever the case may be. But don't bring that into the house that people are worshiping, trying to worship if they don't know the right goal that they're facing, or the right thing they're facing. So we have to see ourselves as a body of people that are laying out a picture, because most of us, by the time you get a survey, we've experienced most of the wrong that we're going to do, whether it's in the street, whether it's in the house, on the job, regardless. Most of us, by surveys, all the wrong that we're going to do, we have experienced it, and we know it's not right. And if it's not right, do we want our grandchildren doing that? Do we want our children doing that? No. So we have to work to see what a model community looks like from within ourselves. Do I belong in a model community? That's what all of us can say to ourselves. Or will I leave a stench? Will I leave it dirty? Talk about what do we need. Allah willing, I mentioned I have a brother, Muhammad. He calls me pretty rugged. And in his calling me, he checked to see how far I'm getting with certain things. And I think I mentioned it last week that I spoke to Sister Aisha, and I'll be putting an article in dealing with three subjects, really, three in one. But they go together, a model community, supporting the Muslim Journal, and the halal industry. Those things that should be helping us. My proposal, even with the Muslim Journal, I would like to see Sister Aisha, as she's the one that we see as have been handling the paper for us for all these years, put together a team that can find property for the Muslim Journal. I'll put it in writing, but this, what I suggested before, and I'm still suggesting, somewhere that there's a like a little shopping mall that could be purchased. Purchasing it, take maybe one of the larger buildings in there and turn that into the Muslim Journal publishing company. Don't concern herself with publishing the paper there, but concern herself with making and printing books from our community, particularly African American. When I say our community, I mean Christians and Muslims. We need to write books. We need to write our stories. And they need to be told to our children and to other people. The papers could be still taken care of somewhere else, because if you got this place that I'm talking about, you're renting out the majority of the property, which gives money to pay for the papers. But you're making money by having office space that you rent out and the printing of books. That's my proposal. To do that, we're probably, and I'm putting it out as thought right now, she needs to set up to be able to receive it if she accepts it. But if 1,000 of us would contribute $1,000 to be a shareholder of Muslim Journal, Muslim Journal Publishing Company, we can get a publishing plant like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had down the line. Right now, we need something, property, that is owned by the Muslim Journal that benefits from it and helps the community by writing stories, telling our stories. Don't let nobody keep telling our story. It was bad enough when there was little Sambo in school. We had stories when I was young, and some of those older than me, that we were never anything in the book. On TV, they had the Little Rascal, and we had Shine and Alfalfa and a few people telling the story. They weren't dirty guys, but that wasn't our story. So we have to look at that. I see someone's hand, I believe, 215-821. Mic is open for you. If you have something to say, please. The mic is open. 215-821. Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
I didn't have my hand up. I don't know how. It just slid me in, so I'm here.
No. You touched the one. Maybe you touched the one accidentally, but you touched it. When you touch it, your one puts a hand up on the screen. So if you have no questions, okay. You want to make a statement, it's okay. All right. I can't hear you.
I really need to listen. I'm pretty.
Okay.
Just want to say first.
You're kind of breaking up, but you're welcome to say something if you do want to say something, or you can push the one again, and that'll tell me you went off. And if you change your mind, you can hit it again and do it later. The mic is open for you, or either touch the one on your phone. Sound like you're doing something, but you ain't moving the hand, and You ain't saying nothing, so. Just touch the one on your phone. And if that doesn't work, I'll move on if you don't have anything to say. But anyone that has a question, statement, suggestion, you're welcome to touch the one on your phone, bring you in to be heard, and that will take you out as well. So, as I'm saying here, we have to see ourselves establishing something. And it's easy. And Allah created us to do it. He gave us the experience to do it. Everybody don't have the same experience. Some will have to find themselves learning what somebody else already doing. Some will create something that never been done before. That is among us as well as it is among other people. But we have to trust each other. We have to work together. We have to walk together. And I don't mean in the same city, but on the work that we're doing. And sister, your mic is still open if you want to use it. I'm going to hit the earphones and see if that cuts the sound a little bit. You're not making much noise, but I can hear a little something. When you want to hit that, I took your microphone off. So if you can hit your one, that will take the hand down. Then that way, if you do want to say something, you can hit the one again, and then we'll see that. Yes, it moved. It removed itself. So if you're thinking you want to say something again, then definitely hit the one, or anyone. You can hit one on your phone. And again, if I don't see it, maybe someone else see it, and we're there on the board, the studio board, and they could bring you in. So to continue where we were at, Allah gives to humanity their assignment. We have to believe that. We have an assignment. We didn't go through, and I'm not saying I felt everything the slave felt, but I'm a part of that train, so to speak. I'm a part of that study period. I'm a part of that development. You are. We are as a collective. And as long as we're on the earth, we will be. We can say, some of us can say, we can lose out on it and say, well, I'm African and I want my African roots. I don't know how you're going to find them. If you're brought over here on a slave ship and everything is lost, even DNA, yes, we came from somewhere in Africa, but even before that, we came from wherever Adam was. Think about that first. Mm-hmm. Where was Adam born? Where was his wife born? Two sons born. And then who came about after that? Because they were the beginning. It had to be a girl in there somewhere that gave the sons boys, or I ain't going to say it had to be. I wasn't there. Whatever Allah chose to do to bring some girls about, that eventually there's some children born. Today we're looking at beings of people have already been on earth because of that one situation, Adam and his wife, Hua or Eve, however we want to call it. Those things exist. So today we get a chance to live for those who are coming after us. We can learn from the ones that already passed, but we can't live for them. Anything coming after us, our own offspring, or offspring that we won't see and they won't see that will come about maybe 100 years from now. Allah has a plan for the humanity. And humanity has a job in that plan. We just have to believe that our ice is as cold as everyone else. We're Muslims. Let's look at it another piece. We're Muslims. And we got the opportunity to build today for the Muslims in general and the humanity as well to be an image of what Allah wants to give a reward to. Allah says in the Quran, and I'm speaking of the Arabic, but it's also in the English and any other language. It is saying to the people who speak Arabic and those who, whatever they're reading, if they're reading from their language and it's other than Arabic, it's in that. It says, teach the people, teach the people in their own language. So they won't have an excuse to say that they didn't understand. Do you know how important it is Imam Muhammad said something and went over a lot of people's heads. They invited him one day to come and hear the recitation of the Quran. And one of the children, one of the youngsters, I forget the age, he might have been 12, 11, something like that. But either way, I forget the age. And he recited the Quran. And no doubt, that's a good thing. That's a blessing. The father, the mother, the family got to be happy. The school, whoever taught him, got to be happy. But he said something that was really a catch to success. He said, that's nice. I like that. But it would have been better if he had known and been able to recite the whole Quran in his language, English. We as African Americans particularly, we believe if somebody else got something, we ain't got nothing. Theirs is better than ours. Allah says to them in Arabic, that speak Arabic and read Arabic, teach the people in their own language so they won't have a reason to say they didn't understand. That's God talking. He knew this day was going to come. And when this all going to be over or how far it's going to go down the line, he knows all of that. He in no area to be guessing. We may guess, but he don't guess. Allah said that teach the people in their language. He had his messenger, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, say to his companions, when you come among people who you don't speak their language, in other words, you can't communicate with them, and you don't know their culture. That's big. You don't know their culture. Then don't you teach them. Don't you get in front of them. The strange that the African-American here, everything we do, we want to find another people to teach us to do better in it. No discarding the Arabs, but Allah know best. And I say Arabs because they were the ones that got the revelations from the prophet first. But Allah is saying clear in the Arabic language to them who got it first. People in their language. Do you know it wouldn't be nothing wrong with a person who couldn't speak Arabic and had others join in the household that can't speak Arabic? There's nothing wrong with them leading the prayer in English, if that's their language, or leading it in Spanish, if that's their language, or Chinese, or whatever the case their language is. You might say, well, bro, you saying that? No, I'm not. I'm saying what Allah is saying. Teach people in their language so that they will understand. They know what shit they're saying. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Now, most people know that's been around. That was the way Imam Muhammad introduced himself. And that's how we do it because we're his students. But let's see where he get it from. The Surah Al-Rahman speaks of the two mercies, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. The root words are exactly the same. The vowels change. One is mercy in taking, and one is mercy in giving. Rahman is benefactor, giver. Allah is given to you. Rahim is Allah taken from you. It might be somebody's name, and they may work to be a giver or a taker. But it actually is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, is actually Allah's name. To his giving and his taking. And as Imam Muhammad said to us, Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor, he's merciful in his giving. He don't put nothing burden on you, but in his giving you, whether it's assignments or whether it's blessings, he's merciful. Ar-Rahim, and he's merciful in his taking back, whether it's your life or whether it's the life of someone you love or some property or whatever the case may be. The meanings have something there for us. But if we say it just in Arabic alone and we don't know Arabic, the people follow the prayer are following the motions, not the guidance. Well, we guiding them how to prostrate and sit in sajda and Jalsa and et cetera, and the Ruhu. Yeah. But they don't know the words. They don't know. And this is God talking. This is not Wali Bilal. This is God saying, teach the people in their language. We have brothers and sisters from other countries that can teach. You know where they belong at? In the school. Not on your rostrum. They must know because they live over there. You know how much hell go over there? Same amount that goes on over here.
Right.
Hell is hell. Lies is lies. Deceitfulness is deceitfulness. People who want to be over you in America, there are people that want to be. We see Putin. He want to be over everybody so bad he'd tear up everything. He'd destroy everything, hospitals, daycares, all that kind of stuff. We Muslim, some of us could be the worst. Some of us can be the worst. So our interests have to be the African-American, descendants of slaves, not separating yourself from people, but we have to build together here in America. Allah has given us the assignment to show others how to live Islam. That's why you get it later. You know, the first wedding was nice looking. But as children grew and get married and years and decades later, they're even better looking. Cars, first one looked nice. Then Model T Ford was something to look at. But today, it looked better sitting on the shelf as a token of what it used to look like.
Museum.
A museum, that's right. Put them in a museum. Right now, we will drive one of these modern-day 23s, 22s, or whatever the case is. You know, 2022, 2023, just in case somebody didn't get that, what kind of car that was, or something like a year. So our life has to be where we see there's an opportunity for us. See, the best opportunity is the one that Allah gives to us. He calls us to breathe every day, see every day, touch everything, feel every day, think. There's not a part of us that he don't control. And that's not just us. That's every human being. Every animal, every bit of air, space, whatever, concrete, wood, whatever, it all has movement because of Allah. All of it is the same. Allah has given us the movement to come in Islam, to be an example. Here in America, within a short period of time, maybe 50, I mean, excuse me, for the 50 states, maybe five. That's 10. Times five would make 50. Maybe we would have established, even on a small scale, a community in each state within 5 years. That should be our goal. That should be our effort. If we wind up with 25 instead of 50, we're on our way. Key is to get it started and get it moving. And there's a whole lot that has to go into that. Much of it starts off with the talking of those of how you see a model community. What are the things we need? And let's find bodies and like minds to come together and think about it and talk about it. And sometime this year, we'll do a Zoom with those type people that can see it. Architects, engineers, bricklayers, glazers, steel people, you know, when I say steel, metals, et cetera. Farmers, whatever, refrigerator manufacturers. Everything that's needed needs to be discussed. Storefronts in a mall, in a strip mall, homes, houses of worship. What makes a model community? What will make it? What do it look like? But everybody that has a hand in doing something should have a voice to say what they do that we should see it. Bankers, accountants, whatever you can think of, we need it. The thought is not just on me, not going to be on me. It's on all of us. But we should be looking at that and have a Zoom meeting to discuss that, break off and discuss that one weekend, hopefully somewhere by July. Could go a little beyond, but maybe by July we'll be able to have the first meeting. A Zoom type. Next year, maybe we'll be breaking ground somewhere. Maybe the end of this year. Don't take nothing but for us to come together and see how to do it, what we're going to do, and what's step one. If there's 10 steps, what's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 until we get to 10? If it's 100 steps, same thing. But we have to lay it out first. We have to believe it, and then we have to put it out to the people. When we put it out to the people, we'll have a regular convention in one of the cities, maybe more than one city, having it in one, more than one spot. So people don't have to travel all across the country. Land, where are we going to build it at? Is this land tested that people can live on it, or you're going to have animals on it, or whatever the case is? Or is it land that only could be used for a specific thing? There's no limit of what we need to look at. So you think you got everything, and that's why everybody needs to have a voice. As soon as you think you got everything, you come to find out you forgot something. And that's what we have to watch out for. Take another break and shut up.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry. Still for Self, your host, Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-host James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 25-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, Parent Corporation Community Washoe Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
Yes, once again, Nate, thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Once again, this is Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, the Halal Industry, do for self. And as always, we thank you for taking the time, whether you're hearing it now or whether you're pulling up another program by Facebook or one of the other ways that is set to bring a program back up to listen to it. We appreciate your time to doing it. We need your help in building this model community, discussing it, and other things that we're wanting to do. But the model community is a focus that we need to have. Our Imam, Imam Muhammad, spoke to us many times before he passed about the model community. It's something that he said put him in a good place. When you do a good, and that good was done in behalf of someone, there's rewards, Allah promises. And Allah never fails in his promise. So our intention is actually to build, not just because it gives the Imam a reward. That's one part, but we need it. We need the model to show us how to work together as a people. We don't ever want to be ugly to people in general. But we don't want, we got to kill that day where people are just being all kind of ugly to us, you know, treating us like we're the worst. We don't have to do no fighting or nothing. They know we'll fight. We just need the bill. And we don't need their compliments. We need to be able to see ourselves accomplishing, not so much a compliment, but accomplishing what we need to do by working together. Can others be involved to help us build? I'm sure many of them will help once we get rolling. But we have to see the importance of what we're going to pass to our offspring, our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, et cetera, right on down the line. We won't even be here. Things will be standing that they could see. Many of us, we couldn't see nothing our forefathers did. It wasn't there to do. We couldn't do it. So we have to know that, and in knowing that, we have to believe that our growth is only going to be from our hands, but we got the help of Allah, just like everybody else. Allah will not forsake us. Allah will not betray us. All we have to do is work together, work to do the right thing. Be the image of you for humanity to see that, hey, we need to be like them. They think they know how to practice Islam and doing it this way. No, they need to be like us. Even our Christian families, there's problems going on in the Christian society. Be the example. Be the example. And a person might say, well, brother, you're Muslim. How are you talking for the Christian? Allah is the one that's talking.
Mm-hmm.
Allah says nearest to us in faith. We should never forget that.
Right.
He says, not Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace, well, not any human being. We repeat what Allah said in the Quran. Nearest to us in faith is the Christians.
Right.
So is there something wrong with the way they're moving? Yes, there are some things that's wrong. They can correct that. They need the example also. But the bottom line is, why I call them kufar, disbelievers. Allah said, be careful who you call a disbeliever.
Right.
You can't see in nobody's heart.
Yes, right.
You can't see in your heart, but he lets you be able to see or listen in a way that you don't need your eyes for the seeing it in your own heart. You know if you're playing a game, and you should be very careful because we can't play games with Allah. We can't put ourselves in a place like all of a sudden we know it all. How? How will we know it all? How many things you forgot this week? Maybe even some of us forgot so much today. Allah don't forget. Allah knows everything. And in knowing everything, we have to watch what we say that Allah says. We have to be very careful with that. We can't just say anything. And if we do that properly and understand that properly, we're doing what Allah calls us to. And that's necessary for us. So I'd like to see us be successful establishing, building a model community. I don't care what part of the country is in. But it need to be our hands establishing. We need to be those that actually see ourselves growing in a way that, you know, I mean, nobody could touch us. When I say nobody could touch us, I don't mean it like, what's the singer name that said you can't touch me? What's his name? We ain't music guys. So, but either way, we know that we just have to move things in a manner that is pleasing to our Lord. And if we do that properly, if we do it the way it's supposed to be done, we'll find that there's no loss. There's no way we'll feel lost. There's an interest for us to build. Grace Line with the credit union. We need them on board. We need them on board, not talking money. They are bankers. We need to know, is there just one type bank we should have? And they'll be the one that have to tell us and what it should look like and how do we stay secure with it. How can we stay away from all the security? They have to know that. We may have a security team, but they have to know also what it would take to know that when you put your money where it's supposed to be, it's still there because somebody didn't electronically use a method to take it somewhere else. But that'll be on them to help us, you know what I mean, our family. A very vital, very important piece of growth when you're talking about establishing a model community. When you don't have that, you don't have the security. We got businesses. One of the main things I tell people, when you see problems, robberies and everything with the businesses, it's because people don't want to pay for security. The thing that helped us in the Nation of Islam, we had security. Across the country, everybody knew about that. And think about this. Think about one beautiful thing. Our courage was for God. The message works with us. We didn't carry guns. We have disarmed people, but we didn't carry no guns. So security is not guns necessarily. You know what I mean? And we even told the police, you don't need to be here securing us. We know what to do there. That's something that we can do. And in doing it, we'll find that it's very easy to put our community back together as it should be. We have to believe it. We have to work with it. And we have to trust that we can do it and don't have to look at someone else to think, another people. They're the only ones who can do it. We can't do it. We got to watch them do it. That's not the life we live in. We're living in a life that Allah is God over all of us. It's not a time for those of us to think that we only could be taught by somebody from overseas. That means their ice is colder than our ice. Now, read the Quran. As I just said, Allah says, teach the people in their own language so they won't be able to say that they didn't understand. Many people talking in English that come from another language, they can't explain to us what we can read ourselves. My connection to Allah, nobody can get that better than me than Allah. As long as I understand the words, I can read it for myself. Then all I got to do is live it. If I live it, I shouldn't have a problem. So as always, we thank you for taking time to be with us today, and we prayerfully we'll be talking to you again next week. Next Wednesday, and we pray that everyone's having a blessed Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak, and let us ask for the best, the gift that Allah will give us over these last few days. Read the Quran, pray to Allah, beg for his help, and let's come out making things happen. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, because there is